Our scripture reading today is taken from several verses from Isaiah 44. Who shapes a god and casts an idol which can profit nothing? People who do that will be put to shame. Such craftsmen are only human beings. Let them all come together and take their stand. They will be brought down to terror and shame. The blacksmith takes a tool, works with it in the coals. He shapes an idol with hammers. He forges it with the might of his arm. He gets hungry and loses his strength. He drinks no water and grows faint. The carpenter measures with a line and makes an outline with a marker. He roughs it out with chisels and marks it with compasses. He shapes it in human form in all its glory, that it may dwell in a shrine. Such a person feeds on ashes. A deluded heart misleads him. He cannot save himself or say, "Is not this thing in my right hand a lie?" Remember these things, Jacob, for you, Israel, are my servant. I made you. You are my servant, Israel. I will not forget you. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. In our chapel planning each year, we try to touch on subjects that are of concern to us as a college community. I've been coordinating chapel for 5 years, and this morning we are dealing with a topic that we have not discussed previously, the topic of eating disorders. According to the National Eating Disorders Association, in the United States, as many 10 million females and 1 million males are fighting a life and death battle with an eating disorder such as anorexia or bulimia. Millions more are struggling with binge eating disorder. Last year, Senior Courtney Rubel approached me about sharing both her research on anorexia and also her own experience and her testimony. And she has bravely decided to step forward this morning and talk about this sensitive subject. Will you please welcome Courtney Rubel?
As Dr. Smith said, I'm Courtney, and I'm a senior biblical studies major here. And this summer, I completed my senior honors research project on eating disorders. And I chose that topic because I struggled with an eating disorder, anorexia nervosa, through my experience in high school and for my first year or so here at Geneva. And I just wanted to explore, I guess, how to understand eating disorders biblically. And one of my biggest questions as I was struggling, and even now as someone recovered, is what does it mean to be a Christian who struggles with an eating disorder? And I wondered, especially while in the midst of it, if I even could be a Christian and struggle with an eating disorder. So I want to share with you some of what I've learned, some of the answers I've had given to me through my research, as well as my story, what God has done in my life. What a lot of people don't know about eating disorders is that they start a long time before the scale ever tells you that something's wrong. And they end a long time after the scale tells you that you're healthy again. Eating disorders are driven by the mind and the heart and have a lot to do with identity and an inability to understand who you truly are. And for me, it was an inability to understand what it meant to be caught up in the life of Christ. I guess my journey in anorexia started really early on, even though my weight didn't change for a long time. I struggled with insecurity. I grew up in a Christian home. I never had any reason to question if I was loved. I was loved very well and still am. But I didn't share the faith of my family until I was 13. And I grew up with this sense of guilt because I knew that my life didn't match the faith of my family members. And I didn't decide to accept Christ as Lord and Savior because I didn't want to give my life to a God who would tell me how to live it. I had my own ideas for what life was supposed to be, and I decided to live that out instead of what God wanted. So I was a very hateful, rebellious person for the first part of my life. I was a liar, someone who fought all the time with siblings and friends, and just not really someone who would listen, not really the kind of person that you'd want to be friends with or really know, but God was gracious in that he made it so that I wasn't comfortable living that way for too long. I hated the brokenness that my life was. And I just remember one day, it was a really horrible day. I'd had some kind of really big fight and just felt like my life wasn't making me happy. And I remember running into my room and I got out my journal. And on one side of my journal, I wrote out a list of all the things I hated about myself, all the things I was tired of having be true of me. And on the other side, I wrote out a list of things I wanted to start being characteristics of my life. And then in the middle, because I'm nerdy, I wrote a poem to God, just kind of asking him to change me. And I prayed that poem over and over again, just kind of hoping, longing that God would listen to it and that maybe the next morning I'd wake up and things would be different. And God was very gracious. He always hears our prayers, even though I didn't realize that at the time. He hears our prayers and he heard mine. And he started making some really drastic changes in my life, really good changes that were really surprising to a lot of people because I was kind of the last person that you'd expect to start, like, being nice to people. So I started getting a lot of compliments from people, like saying, oh, you're so different. You're such a nice person now. And people would tell my mom and dad, like, oh, like, what happened to Courtney? She's so nice. And it, like, made me feel really good because before I just always felt like nobody liked me at all, which they didn't really have any reason to. But, yeah, so it was really nice to start being noticed for good things. And while it's good to be praised, something I didn't realize at the time was slowly as I started to receive these compliments, I started caring more about how others perceived me than I cared about living for God and how he saw me. So he'd done this great thing in my life to save me out of my life of sin, but I quickly turned that around and made a new idol of trying to seek perfection and acceptance through my own works. I was 14, that started to get really bad, where I'd kind of get really depressed if I went a few days without anybody saying, like, oh, you did this really great thing, and then I'd do something, and I'd get encouraged, and I'd feel good about myself again. And in my research, I was reading some books about idolatry and addiction and kind of how they're connected to each other, and one of the quotes I liked was, it describes who the addict is, and it says, the addict is someone who does not know the character of God or is chosen to doubt and ignore the truth about God that she may already know, and who, because she is selfishly demanding and unwilling to come before God on his terms, apply his solutions, and wait on his timetable, turns to gods of her own design. So though at that point in my life I wasn't yet addicted or enslaved to weight loss or trying to find worth through my body image, I was trying to find it through spiritual perfection, which, God does change us when we become part of his family and do good things in our lives, but he doesn't promise to perfect us until he returns again and brings his kingdom fully to bear. So that was a really dangerous thing, and it played into, about the same time I started having some health problems that really weren't serious at all, like my cholesterol was slightly high, and I found out I had scoliosis, which at the time I thought was like a deadly disease, but it just means that your spine is a little bit curved, or it could be a lot curved, it's really bad, but mine was bad enough that I needed to get a back brace, and that was a really traumatizing experience, because most people who get diagnosed with scoliosis get diagnosed when they're like 10, and I was 14, so to go get fitted for the brace, you have to get measured, like, awkwardly. And, of course, the only doctors who make these kind of braces are guys. So it was just a really uncomfortable experience. And I just remember when I went to get fitted for my brace, being really upset with my body because, like, the guy had to keep adjusting, like, making the brace bigger. And I just felt so humiliated and exposed. And I remember coming home that day and feeling like, I don't care what I have to do, I'm making myself disappear. Like, I can't go through this kind of humiliation anymore. So I guess two things played the biggest role in getting me into the anorexic mindset, where I felt bad about who I was spiritually because I was afraid that if I hung out with people too much, they'd find out that there was something wrong with me, that I would mess up and they wouldn't like me anymore. And then I felt bad about my body at the same time. So I just kind of started closing myself off from other people and not wanting to be known or seen. Anorexia tells a lot of lies to the people who look to it for help. And some of the lies it told me were that if I submitted to its rules, if I restricted my diet enough, lost enough weight, that I would be liked and all my problems would go away. It's really simple, way too simple of an answer to life. I should have been able to see through, but I believed it. And so I started not eating anymore. And it was really easy because the brace was so tight that it squeezed my stomach really small. So I could eat two bites of a hamburger and feel like I'd eaten 20 and not feel hungry. So it was really, really easy for me to lose weight at first. And at first no one was really concerned because it just seemed like I was trying to be healthy, get my cholesterol down, whatever. But I remember getting to a point where my mom said to me, I feel like maybe this is getting a little bit out of hand. I think we should go see the doctor. And since I didn't know what anorexia was, I didn't know it existed, I didn't know anyone who struggled with it, so I had no clue. So I just thought, okay, go check it out. And when I went to the doctor, my doctor asked me two questions that were really eye-opening to me that I didn't expect. She asked me, first of all, why I had lost as much weight as I had, and secondly, if I had a number in mind, what weight was I shooting for? When would I be happy with myself? And it was the first time I realized that the reason I was losing this weight wasn't because I wanted to be healthy. It was because I wanted, because I hated my body and because I hated who I was. And I also realized that I didn't have a number in mind. I would get up every morning, get on the scale, whatever the number was, it just had to be lower. So that was kind of what drove me each day, just to get up, weigh myself, find out how much I weighed, and then try and wake up the next morning smaller. So I guess I did a really good job at first of hiding what I was doing from my family. I pretended I listened to my doctor and started eating again. I pretended I was listening to my parents' advice, but I wasn't. I would hide food. I would pretend I'd eaten my food and then throw it in the trash later on. Or my mom and dad chose a weight for me that they thought was healthy and said if I could please try and stay there. And they had a little notebook for me to write in what my weight was. And I'd write it in at what they'd said, but it really wasn't that weight. And I guess thinking back on it, that's kind of the darkest point of all of that, just realizing that my old life had come back, my old patterns, I was lying again. And it was really easy to slip back into that, and that really scared me. And I wondered if Christ was really part of my life at all, if I really had anything to do with what he wanted. And the sense of shame that I'd been trying to run from and try and fix through changing what my body looked like turned on me. It came back in a whole new way because now I felt even more ashamed because I tried to do it on my own, make my own choice about how to feel worthwhile, and it didn't work. So I don't know. I just got to a place where I felt I had no way out. I couldn't fix my problems through anorexia, but I felt I couldn't let go of it either because I thought if I let go of this body image that I'm striving for, who will I be? What will I turn to? I've rejected God in a sense, so I can't go back to him. So I just felt I needed to stay where I was. Another quote that I read from a book by a woman who struggled with eating disorders was about what health means to the anorexic person. And she says that health, according to anorexic logic, equals a loss of status, of specialness, but perhaps most important, of clarity. You failed to exert the ultimate willpower, failed to pare your body and soul down to its true essence, failed to sustain that incandescent identity as a creature who defies definition, not to mention the very laws of nature. You failed to reduce yourself to a perfect object. The knowledge that this identity was impossible, demeaning, and false offers scant consolation, for it still leaves that gaping question, who are you? And that was really the question for me. I just didn't know who I was anymore or what I should do to try and fix my problems. God was really, really gracious to me as I battled with these questions and this sense of hopelessness, because he had placed me in a Christian family who loved me and stuck by me even when I treated them so poorly, even as I was lying to them and misusing them. And one of the things that was the greatest blessing to me was how they kept me in God's word, because I'd stopped reading the Bible as I got worse and worse, because I felt like it was too convicting, and what's the point? If I'm displeasing God anyways, why pretend that everything's okay and read my Bible? So I didn't read it anymore. And my mom asked me if maybe every morning I would meet to pray with her and read through a book of the Bible, and I really didn't want to, but thankfully my moral compass wasn't totally gone, and I thought, well, I should probably do this for her. Maybe it'll make her happy and she won't ask me to eat more today or something. So I did that, and God is just awesome, because he promises us that he'll work through his word to change our lives. And that's the tool he uses. That's how his spirit works in us, is through his word coming into our hearts. And through the times I spent with my mom in God's word and in church and with my other friends and family members who would pray with me, he kept me from just totally going astray and losing all hope. The statistics on people who recover from eating disorders are really not encouraging. 60 to 70% of anorexics never fully recover from the disorder, and I knew that as I was battling with it, and that was just really discouraging to me, because I thought, what's the point of even trying to get out of this, because nobody can, and I don't even want to anyway, so I wasn't really motivated. But God kept telling me, like, kept pushing me to feel guilt over what I was doing. So strangely, I never actually decided to get better. I never came to a place where I thought, enough is enough, I'm done, I want to change. But God changed me for myself, I guess. He worked without my help, which he often does, and just brought me to a place where I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. I couldn't exert the same willpower anymore, which is actually like the scariest thing ever in the mind of the anorexic, to come to that place where you can't do it anymore. That's what would drive me to eat as little as I did and to exercise so much, because I thought, one day I'm going to wake up and not be able to do this, so I better do it all today. And God thankfully took my eating disorder from me and brought me back my physical health. And that was about 2.5 years ago that I recovered physically, but it wasn't till like this last year that I started being thankful to God for what he'd done, instead of resenting the fact that I didn't look the way I wanted to anymore. I think post physical recovery, my battle has been trying to understand identity. Like, where do I find that? Where do I find hope and purpose? How do I keep myself from feeling worthless and trying to find some other thing to pour myself into that'll make me feel good about myself? And God's been slowly teaching me what it means to be caught up in Christ, to know his love that's unconditional. Grace is something that I have a really hard time understanding, but I've seen it through my family and through my friends, as they've loved me despite the ways I let them down, despite the ways that I betrayed them, in a sense, during my disorder. Living life for God is the most freeing and hard thing in the world, but it's worth it. And God works in us. He doesn't give up on us when we give up on him. And I guess I want to encourage you, if you struggle with a disorder, an eating disorder, or know someone, like, it can be really hard, because you need patience. It takes a long time for God to work healing in your life, especially at the heart level. But he can do it. He did it in my life. And one of my favorite verses is in Colossians, where it says that our lives are hidden with God in Christ. And I know that. I know that God sees me as he sees his son, as someone he loves, as someone who he would give everything for. And even though I still struggle with insecurities, God is is working and changing me. And I guess I just want to leave you with the hope of knowing that God's power is greater than the struggles that meet us, is greater than the things we do to harm ourselves. And don't give up on him, and he will be faithful. Thank you.